And the Senate Chief Steward, Mark Van Gestel, joining us after racing on the weekend at Rose Hill. Afternoon, Mark, how are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean. I'm well, thanks.
That's good. We've had a bit of rain, these tracks. I suppose you go there expecting one and you look and think we've got to downgrade a little bit at times. They do vary, don't they?
Yeah, it was similar to Saturday, Sean, at Rose Hill. We started on a soft six, had about 4 millimetres of rain between 7.30 and when we looked at the track at around about 9.30, so we downgraded to a soft seven, and that's where it remained throughout the day.
All right. I suppose some horses were affected by the track, and one I noticed, Dynamic Dynasty, in the first you had a good look at?
Yeah, certainly. We spoke to Blake McDougall, and he said, in his view, mainly the horse was unsuited by having to go forward and lead. He was caught wide early and had to make some use of Dynamic Dynasty to go forward and lead, but he did indicate probably didn't handle the soft track conditions. Chen and Perry, the stable rep, agreed with that assessment, but also said that the horse was unsuited by going forward and leading as well.
Was there much else from that first, Mark?
A couple of horses, mid-race, Ocean City and Typhoon Test, were unsuited. The pace backed off their mid-race, and both those horses over-raced quite badly and were checked for some distance in the middle stages and probably had some excuses in those circumstances.
All right, race two, and you had a chat to a couple here.
Yeah, we spoke to Dan Penny, who was the rider of the winner, Sabrina, the winner in the race, Foreign Prince. Sabrina was crossed at about the 1,000-metre mark, and Karen McAvoy, the rider of Sabrina, at the steady to avoid heels. But more so, Deanne just backed the pace off quite quickly there near the 1,000 metres, and then Sabrina got up onto the heels and had to be checked, and we just cautioned Deanne in respect to the practice of steadying her mouse too quickly. I spoke to Hugh Bowman about Beyond Thankful. He just said, in his view, the only excuse he could offer was that the horse was carrying a big weight and on rain-affected going. The stable will report back to us in respect to doing an endoscopic examination, and they'll provide those results to the stewards.
All right. Now, the third, the Highway Handicap, much from that?
Look, we spoke to Sam Clifford. He rode Callaway Cruiser, one of the fancy chances. The only thing he could really say that he rode forward and maybe with the benefit of hindsight, maybe better suited, being just ridden a little quieter and stepping the horse up in trip. He said all in all was still quite disappointing. Emerald Ice stood flat-footed at the start of the race. It lost about 8 lengths, we estimate, and that horse was sent back to trials. And She's Invincible, we spoke to Blake McDougall. He said he was instructed to be midfield but was hampered early and then obliged to take up a trailing position. He was also fined, Sean, for not riding the horse out to the finish, fined a sum of $300.
Now, the fourth, the Scripps Handicap, you had a good look at Winetails here.
Yeah, we asked a few questions in the race, Sean. First of those was Andrew Atkins' handling of Winetails. The horse got back. In essence, in the straight, he was held up and couldn't improve. Winetails went to the line really without being tested, and we just said to Andrew that in the view of the stewards that he'd erred and not just being more decisive in his actions, particularly near the 200 metres when the stewards are of a view that there was a runner developed between frill-seeking and alert, and we didn't think he showed the necessary judgment to try and continue to pursue that run when it was available to him. We adjourned an inquiry in respect to Blake Shin's handling of Thud and with respect to his actions rounding the home turn in the early part of straight, and again at the 200 metre mark, and that's been adjourned to a date to be fixed. And we did also speak to Jay Ford, who rode Burnett. The horse was held up in the early part of the straight. It was caught to the inside of the heels and missed 10 pins, and Jay Ford said initially he was looking to improve between Butter Boom and missed 10 pins, but when that didn't develop, he had to steady and come to its outside at about the 200 metre mark, and it found the line reasonably well as well, Sean.
All right, now the fifth, it looks like the report was Dark Steel, maybe better suited on a firmer track?
Yeah, for sure, and it did jump awkwardly, got further back than what the connections had wished it to be, but they said certainly we would be better suited racing on a firmer track, as you've indicated, but also with disadvantage by getting back in the field. Other than that race was pretty quiet for us, Sean.
The sixth, the Ranvet, was there much from this?
Embley probably. It did have a race in the early stages and had to be checked off heels near the 1,000 metres and probably didn't assist its chances. We spoke to Andrew Atkins in respect to his ride on Grand Punto, in particular the horse going forward and ultimately leading. He indicated his instructions were to be midfield, but the horse drew wide, was left without cover, and really it just took charge of young Andrew, and as a consequence proved forward and had to ultimately lead in the race. And Alan Denham said that, in his view, that's the reason the horse raced quite disappointingly. and the stable will report back on the condition of that horse. Chris Waller indicated in respect to disgraceful that, in his view, maybe the horse was disadvantaged just by racing back on the inside, and it was also up in weight on Saturday, and they were the two principal factors for its disappointing performance.
It's interesting, Mark, on a day when you look at horses who don't perform well on the wet, the Himalaya Dream actually improved in race seven.
It did, yeah. It obviously got back, and as advised to the stewards, there was a change of tactic, and that obviously was the catalyst for the horse turning its form around. We spoke to the stable, and they indicated that there'd be nothing different with the horse leading into the race on Saturday, but just more so the fact that the horse was able to finish the race off being ridden quieter. Spoke to the stable of Magical Stance, Ron Quinton, just in respect to the disappointing run. He said the horse was just unsuited by going forward and initially led, but then it did weaken in the straight, and he just said, you know, disadvantage for racing on the inside, but more so just going forward.
The eighth event, and interesting, Chris Waller had a good talk about collaboration to the stewards prior to the race.
He did. He was mindful of the fact that he had a number of runners in the race, but explained to the stewards that the horse had disappointed at its three Australian runs, and you know, they were there to try and get the horse to turn its form around in Australia, and that, for that reason, they instructed the rider at Tyinglin to go forward and take up a position near the lead and ensure that the race was run at a solid one pace tempo, and that's how the horse was ridden. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for the connections, but they were the instructions that were relayed to the stewards and disseminated to everybody prior to the running of the event. Santa Rox is worth a mention, Sean. Near the 300 metres, it had to be checked when disappointed for a run between Cosine and Kentucky Dane, then shifted back to the inside to obtain clear running, but then was again slightly inconvenienced near the 150 metre mark. So certainly had some excuses for Santa Rox in race 8, Sean.
All right, and the ninth looked like it wasn't too much work for you?
No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, Lord Leofric, it bled for the second time, so that's a lifetime embargo from racing in Australia for Lord Leofric. The only other horse probably worth mentioning was Paint. It was standing quite awkwardly in the gates. It missed the start and then was crowded when another runner shifted out. And J4 did indicate to the stewards that his intention was to be more forward, but because of this incident, it settled further back than what had been anticipated.
I suppose this time of year, punters can always have a look, because some horses do improve on various tracks. Some don't like it, do they?
Exactly right, Sean. Yeah, horses. There's plenty of horses that'll get through the going as well as not being advantaged by it. So I guess this time of year, you know, with the wet weather about, it's really important to do your wet track form.
And how's it feel now? You're in the boss's chair there, Mark. Any different or just same thing but a different title?
Oh, look, yeah, exactly right, Sean. It's certainly we're in a position now where we're running the ship, and I guess at the end of the day, the buck stops with me now. And but fundamentally, I suppose a lot of the aspects of stewarding don't change all that much. But you get to a stage where as I said, the buck stops in this office.
All right. Well, as always, we appreciate your time on a Monday, Mark, and thanks again.
Good. Thanks, Sean.
Mark Van Gessler, Chief Steward, joining us there, and a wrap-up of racing from the weekend.